Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, they proved through the night that our flag was still there. Say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land and of the free and the home of the
I used to spend my nights out in a bar room. Liquor was the only love I'd known. But you rescued me.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three on this breezy Sunday morning. All right, well, let's head way on down the coast a little farther, and let's check in with a guy I hadn't talked to in a while. Quite a treat. Let's talk to Captain Jay Watkins from Rockport. Jay Bird, you got any wind down there, buddy?
I do. Good morning, Mickey. How you doing?
Good, brother. Been a while. How you been, man?
Man, I've been, honestly, I've been the same, but which I guess is good.
Hey, that'll work at our age. Hey, it's all good. Every day is a good day.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, you're right about it being breezy. Man, I tell you, I know I made the comment to J-Ray the other morning. I said, I know it's not really windier than it normally is this time of year, but it sure seems like it is.
I know. We say that every year, huh?
Yeah. I think, you know, as we get older, you know, it just irritates you just a little bit more than it used to.
It does.
But like I said, you know, it's very common. We try to explain that to people that, look, what we're experiencing, you know, is common with the wind and even with the, you know, the late season front, and it'll go 3 days out of the southeast and switch to the. Now, this year we've had a lot. I do think that this year we've had a lot more westerly twinge in the wind than we have, you know, maybe in the last couple of years. Seems like more southwest, northwest. And I don't know if that's due to maybe some of the drought conditions, you know, in parts of Texas. I don't know what it is, but we have had a lot more days where we've had a westerly, you know, bend in the wind versus easterly, you know.
Keeps our water low too.
Yeah. And I've made that comment several times that, gosh, man, it seems like for late March and April, we have not had very many periods of time where the tides have been springtime tides, you know, high. We've had days where it jumped back up, but for the most part, you know, most of the sandbars and reefs in Aransas Bay and San Antonio Bay have been exposed.
Right.
So I just don't like prolonged periods of low water, you know, for trout fishing. I mean, maybe the first couple of days or something, maybe that initial drop is okay. But man, after a week, you know, they lose their confidence in where they want to be and you know, what they want to do. And they'll move off on you, and they'll get a little bit harder. They'll get definitely harder to pattern and harder to catch.
Right.
But, there's no doubt that, you know, we're still in recovery mode from COVID, from the 21 freeze, you know, just fishing pressure in general. You know, it was the perfect storm. We had a lot of things happen that, you know, couldn't have been forecast. It couldn't have even been planned if you tried to plan it. You know, that kind of affected it. But I had a guy tell me on the boat last week. I was in Mansfield because I've got a RV down there, and you know, I get guys that are interested in catching better quality fish. I'll jump in the truck and drive to Mansfield and fish 2 or 3 days, then come home, you know. But I had a guy down there, and we were talking, and he said, you know, he goes, at best, fishing is tough, period, this period.
Right.
Just the act of fishing is tough. And, you know, I kind of paused a little bit, and then I thought about it, and I thought, you know, he's right. And I told him a story, and I'll tell you this, your listeners might enjoy it. You know, because numbers are down somewhat, because predation in Aransas Bay is up, and when I say that, I'm not talking about sharks, I'm talking about dolphins. I mean, it is ridiculous. I've never seen them like this ever before. Just, I mean, wait for you to get there. Hook a fish, blow in there, and just sit on you until you leave. It's crazy. I mean, I've never seen it like this, Mickey, where they're just inches away from you.
I know it used to be bad when I'd come down there and fish, and we used to laugh about it. You know, they're just waiting for you to throw a pencil back, and they're going to smoke it.
Yeah.
But I heard it's really out of hand now. It's just an explosion. Yeah. The population of dolphin is unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. But anyway, you know, I've been fishing a little point, just got a little grass hump on it, and it's, you know, very distinct. It catches wind, you know, it catches tidal current. It's, you know, got an upwelling where the grass meets the slightly deeper water. And I felt like John Madden the other day with my guys, and I told one of the guys that, I said, y'all ever watch John Madden when he first got on into broadcasting? I said, man, he was animated. And I said, it was the best ever. I said, you know, he'd break down an offense, a defense. He'd be drawing wham, bam, boom. You got this guy. Man, he's going to smash him. It's like, you know, and I felt like that. I said, look, guys, you got to throw it accurately to that edge. You just got to hit just inside the edge. And you just got to dead stick it, let it drop right straight down. Don't pull it. Don't bang it. Just let it drop straight down. I said, now dust it. Just dust it off that edge. Let it tickle the grass. You're on. Set the hook. Well, a lot of things are happening in that little scenario that are hard for someone that doesn't fish very much. Number one, to be able to see it. Number two, to be able to make the cast. Number three, to be able to interpret where the fish are, where the bite's coming from, and how they want it. And then to be able to be patient enough not to push, not to push in. You know, after you catch a couple of fish, you know, let the area reload, let some more come up in there, you know, and just camp there and just stand there. And the reason I tell that story is because I had a couple of guys that fish with James all the time. And they fished with me a couple of days. And we had two of the best days that I had in April. I didn't count the first day, but the second day they counted their fish. And I think they released 57 fish that were slot size fish, you know, and we're talking, you know, 15 and a half to maybe 21, 22 at the most. Mm-hmm. But the key was they'd been taught well by James, by you, right, by whoever they fished with up there. And they understood exactly what they had to do and exactly what we needed to do, because they were just better at it than some. And so, you know, when somebody says, and I've been guilty of this, Mickey, I've been guilty of saying, oh man, you're making it too hard. Well, you know what the truth is? The truth is, it is hard.
It is. Well, we look at it differently because that's all we've ever done, and it's just second nature to us, you know. And
yeah. You know, for me to say, hey man, just relax and you know, it's just fishing. Well, that's downplaying how hard it is for someone that's not, you know, hasn't done much of it, you know. What we see, and I think bass fishermen have seen it for years and years, but I think what we're seeing on the middle coast right now, and probably even the upper coast, is that due to some drops in the numbers of fish, due to fishing pressure, due to conditions, water quality, lots of things changing, fishing's become harder. It's become harder. And I don't say that to try to discourage people. I say it to do just the opposite. I say to encourage them that, look, you know what? And people say, well, you know, Jay, you always have a way of flipping things to where they're in your favor. Yeah, you're right. I said, look, now it's not something, it's not so off the charts. It's not so good that you just throw it out there and catch one. It's not like that anymore in most areas.
No.
Most areas, you earn what you catch. And so, you know, my deal is I've challenged anglers. Look, you want to become a better angler? You want to be able to go on your own and do it? Well, you better do the same thing you do on the tennis court. You know, now the pickleball court, you know, pickleball, golly. I mean, pickleball is something like crazy now. And golf, guess what? You take lessons from a pro. You have that pro critique what you're doing and tweak it and make you better. You know, I love golf, and I'm not good at golf, but I love it because golf, when done at the highest level, which is what we are doing as guys at this stage in our game, the game is surgical.
Yes.
It's, I mean, they're dissecting every shot, dissecting every, you know, condition, you know. I mean, they are, and that is exactly what we're having to do out there. We're having to say, look, today, not going to work like it did yesterday. We're going to have to do this, you know. We're going to have to increase the cadence. We're going to have to decrease it. You know, we're going to make longer casts. Guys, water's clear. You know, these fish are pressured. They're not going to let us walk up on them like they used to. They just don't. And, you know,
they're not as vast. When they're in huge schools, they're easier to target and easier to get close to. But when they're in small pods, it makes it way. You know, fishing and golf are real similar because there's a whole lot of bad fishermen, a whole lot of bad golfers, and only a few great fishermen and a few great golfers. Think about that. I mean, it's challenging. And, you know, if they've got any kind of competitive spirit at all, I mean, the challenge is that's the drug.
Yes. You know, I used to say, I used to say that, you know, people would say, man, you got a real love for the sport. Then it became passion. I guess love and passion are different. And then they said, well, it's an addiction. You've got an addiction to it. And then I was thinking this winter one time at about 10 till 6 on a 50-degree day where I'm still out there and the sun's down and I'm running in from Mansfield, you know, with my running lights on. You see the lights of town. I said, hell, it's not an addiction. It's an illness.
How true is that? That is a fact. No doubt about it. Just ate up with it. Let me do this break, Jay. I'll be right back at you. You got time to hold for another one?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, buddy. Hang with me. All right, you're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around a bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 618 here in the Bayou City. All right, Jay, we are back. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, no problem. Well, you know,
how's all your family doing? I know Jay Ray, he's steadily getting it like you. Fruit don't fall far from the tree. But how's Ryan doing? Is he still into bass fishing?
Yes, you know, as a matter of fact, Ryan last month took a new job with Sixth Sense there in Conroe.
Right.
Ryan is now in Conroe or Willis. And, man, I think living the dream really and truly. You know, Ryan's got three kids, and he asked me,
goodness,
when he told me about changing jobs, he said, I know what you're thinking. And I said, well, I'm going to ask you this. I said, do you like getting up and going to work every day? Do you love the job you've got? Do you can't wait to do it? And he said, no, not really. I said, well, then you need a new job. You know, and I didn't think I would ever have said that as a dad. I think I would have been that conservative dad that said, and you know, you got a good job, you got company benefits, you got, I mean, he has all those with Sixth Sense, but I'm just saying, you know, but his dream and his passion is bass fishing. That's just all there is to it. And so now he's in an industry where, you know, he gets to help with marketing, you know, he gets to talk to dealers, talk to tackle stores, you know, and he gets fish. he gets to live on Lake Conroe basically and gets to fish. So
Well, there you go.
And J Ray, you know, J Ray is the one that's in our family that marches to the beat of his own drum. He's always done that, gonna continue to do that. Real busy. He stays busy, you know, and loves what he does and is good at it, you know. You know, Mickey, the other day I had a guy ask me, he said, how do you know what to throw every day? And I said, well, I don't. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I don't know every day what to throw. I said, I know what's been working. I know what lures I've got confidence in. Obviously look at the conditions of the day as far as, you know, cloud cover, no cloud cover, water, you know, clarity, no clarity. I said, look at all those things and I might choose color patterns. I said, but I don't really know. That's why I've got numerous, you know, styles of bait in my box on, you know, every day. And, you know, when I said that, he goes, you think since you got lures out there that basically have your name on them, but that's all you'd use. And I said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, you can't get married to one bait.
That's right. And he looked at me and I said, the worst thing any angler can do is to restrict themselves to one style, one brand, one color. I said, because when you do that, you're limiting yourself to what you can learn. Because every bait has its own action, you know, it has its own purpose. You know, you look at a bass angler and, you know, they got four rods down one side and four down the other. And they say, every one of them's got something tied on different. Yeah, that's on day one. And day two, there might be eight rods up there and four of them might have the same thing tied on them. on day three, there might be all eight of them might have the same thing title. Yeah. You know, but
because they got a pattern going.
That's right, right. But to start, they don't know, and they've got lures for different circumstances, for different patterns, you know, and you got to do that in saltwater. You got to do that in saltwater. I had a guy the other day, he said, man, you haven't thrown that double D today. I said, conditions aren't right for it. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, just don't feel right to me. I said, bait's not stacked up. I said, bait's really, really scattered. I said, no line where the bait's on. I said, the bait's not up on broken structure. And I said, I'm a banger. I like to bang it in there, down in
yes,
that structure.
Sir.
And let it pause and let it suspend and let it float up. I said, doesn't feel right. He was like, oh, you're not going to sell me lures doing like that.
Well, no, that's just the way fishing is. I mean, you know, you can't have it your way every day. And the day that you're talking about, you know, you're going to throw something more that you can cover more water with, search and destroy, and figure out a pattern, you know?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, so I tell young fishermen, tournament fishermen, young guides, young anglers, I said, look, don't allow yourself to become married to one thing, and darn sure don't let somebody tell you that that's all you can use.
Yeah.
That's all you can use. I said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever in my life heard. I said, you need to be able to use whatever it takes to catch them. And I said, that's from a lure manufacturer. That's all lure manufacturers want you to do is they want you to be able to catch them, you know, and if it's on their stuff, that's great, you know? And I've always felt that way. And, you know, and so, you know, with that said, right now, you know, I'm probably throwing plastic and double D's more than I'm throwing anything, because I'm fishing moving water. And from day to day, I'll change, maybe hour to hour. The other day I had a guy and we were fishing washout and the wind was blowing pretty hard. And he wanted to throw a topwater. He's a topwater guy. I said, man, chunk it. I said, we've been catching some on topwater. Well, he said, you hardly ever throw topwater. And I said, I don't throw much. I said, but I will. Anyway, he's leading the way. You know, I got him out in front. Got a guy we're walking behind him with, you know, other types of lures. And he throws out there and about a 4-pounder blows up on it and throws back out there. 4-pounder blows back up on it, throws back, blows back up on it. And he looks at me and I'm tying a new lure on. He goes, tying that topwater on, aren't you? I said, nope. I said, I'm tying this double D on. I said, because they're not wanting to commit to the surface. And they'll come within about 6 inches and eat this thing. First cast, bang it down, you know, in that washout, whop, almost a 5-pounder just sucks it down. You know, in 3 or 4 consecutive casts, just boom, boom, boom. This guy, those fish didn't even come to the surface. You didn't even know you had one on there. I said, that's because they're not wanting to commit to the surface.
That's right.
They're coming up and splashing at it, you know, and he said, guy, it's crazy. And I said, well, yeah. I said, that's interpreting what's happening.
Well, that's the art of the sport of what we do.
Once you get
to that level, you want to be able to master every type of different bait there is to throw. That's why when something new comes out, we all go crazy over it because we want to learn how to throw it and fool fish with it and learn
absolutely. Well, you know, bass fishermen absolutely believe that in certain lakes, they've gotten used to certain colors. And, you know, if you catch 3 or 4 off of a brush pile or off of the saddle or off a rocky point on, you know, whatever your favorite color is, and the bite turns off, you pick up a rod with a different color on it and throw it out there and see what happens. And lots of times they'll hit that bait that's a different color because they just all of a sudden got used to that other color, you know. I mean, I don't think that trout and redfish have the ability to reason, but they definitely have the ability to understand that in a really quick manner that's not food. I had a guy tell me, he said, why would they eat that lure? I mean, it's not even real. I said, they don't know it's not real until they get it in their mouth.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
They don't know it's not real. And that's our job, is to make it look realistic So they'll give us the opportunity, you know, to catch them. And that, you know, they don't have hands. It's not like they pick it up and look at it and inspect it and hold it out in front of them and say, I don't know, doesn't feel right, doesn't really have any smell to it. I don't know. I don't think so. You know, they just
well, they're opportunistic feeders, you know, and hey, sure, they may be eating shad, but hey, you put something a little different in there that looks a little more enticing to them, they're going to jump all over it.
Yeah, or just something that's easy, you know,
yeah.
fish that aren't feeding. You know, that's one of the things, Mickey, that people, you know, you can get married to the solar lunar tables, and it can mentally burn you. You know, I pay attention to them, no doubt. I absolutely do. But I am totally a believer that if I can find them when they've shut down and when they've settled down, if I can find them, especially if I can find them in any kind of numbers, I can make them bite.
Mm-hmm.
I can make one of them pick something up and tell me, you know, confirm they're, yes, they're in here. Yes, they will pick something up. And then I go to work. You know, then I go to work. And when you get to that point to where you believe that, then you're not looking at 3 hours of the day to capitalize. You're looking at the whole day to capitalize. That goes back to what we're saying. Fishing's hard. And there'll be periods in the day when it's going to be really good. It's going to seem really easy. There's going to be a whole lot more days and a whole lot more periods in the day where it's just downright hard. And, you know, if you're hard, well, then guess what? You're going to become a good angler. If you're not, you're lazy, and you're not, then you're not. then that's just all there is.
Well, it's more rewarding to me to fool fish and make them bite when they're not biting. That's
yeah.
It's a lot more rewarding.
Yeah, people would say to me, oh, well, yeah, you're saying that now because fishing's a lot tougher. And I'm like, no, that's not why I'm saying it. I'm saying it because I fished a long time. And I've done the 100 fish a day deal. I've had days that if I told the story, people wouldn't believe me. And now I'm into the challenge. I'm into the fact that, you know what, you suckers are very smart. You don't really want me to catch you, but I'm going to. And I'm going to.
You know, you can even think back when we had millions of fish and fishing was really good. There was tough times, too. There was days that they wouldn't bite, and you had to work for them. You had to go get in their living room and make them bite.
I remember Trout Masters where we were on so many slicks that I couldn't even hardly, almost had to, if it's been back in the day where we wore masks, I mean, I would have bought some masks. It was sickening. And you said, oh, I'll show you how to catch those fish. And after three different lure presentations and 3 or 4 hours, you looked at me and you said, this pressure's so high, they're not going to bite till Wednesday. And this was like on Friday. And I'm like, well, that's not going to do me any good on Saturday, Mickey.
Oh, Lord.
You know, it's crazy. But guess what? We were standing and drifting in slicks, I mean, just like crazy. And we weren't catching them. We weren't catching them because they weren't eating.
That's it.
That's just all there was to it, you know? And that was back in the day when in Trinity, we were in Trinity Bay. That was back in the day where you found them shad balls back there, and it was game on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, y'all were catching, you know, 100 fish a day back there. You know,
yeah, that's fun. That's fun trolling motor around those shad balls, chunking them. That's,
Yep, no doubt. But anyway, it's actually raining here right now.
Really? Well, that's good. Y'all need some rain, huh?
Yeah, we do. We had, you know, we had a pretty good rain in January, and then we had one in March that, you know, we got probably an inch and a half to maybe 2 inches one morning. But other than that, it's just been a, you know, a little spattering here or there. But it's actually, I'm sitting on the porch, it's actually raining. So
I'll
that's
be
good.
Darned.
And the wind's not blowing right now. But it will.
I'm looking at gust up here right now, or 32 and...
Yeah.
32 at Morgan's Point and gusting to 34 at Eagle Point.
Yeah, I know J. Ray fished yesterday. I don't fish weekends much anymore, Mickey, but J. Ray fished yesterday, and he had a video out there. It looked like he was in the Gulf. You know, I was like, boy, wow, that looks fun.
Oh, yeah, we've been through those days and had some unbelievable days in that kind of wind. Some days chickens, other days feathers. But
That's right. But, that's right, yeah. That's what keeps us coming back. And that's what keeps us coming back. And that's what I'd tell all the listeners, you know, dadgum, you know, fishing's a great sport. It's outdoors. You're getting some vitamin D. You're getting some exercise. You know, you get a fresh meal out of it. You know, it's good exercise. Man, there's a lot of good things that happen. It's good for the soul.
You
need to get out there and continue to fish, no matter, you know, how tough it is.
Just times are different now, but I think, you know, with these limits and, you know, and curtailing things like they are, we'll give it a chance. You got to try.
I mean, I don't, you know, if Mother Nature cooperates with us, and I've always said this, and I mean, it's simple. How can taking less equate to less if you get some help from Mother Nature?
Right.
If Mother Nature helps you. You know, people got to realize you got to have her help. I mean, we can't do it on our own. I mean, we have to have her help. We've got to have some, you know, some milder winters. We've got to have some rain. A lot of things have to happen to, it's not just one thing that will, you know, turn it all around. So, I'm optimistic, you know, that this is going to help things. Being in the fourth quarter of my career, you know, people would say, well, I don't know why you would care one way or the other. Well, you care because
I mean, how can you help but not care?
Yeah, you care because you want people to be able to experience what we've experienced. You know, I tell young guys all the time, Mickey, I hope that your career ends up like mine, where you've got great clients, people that care about you, people that take care of you, your health stays good, you know, and that you continue to be addicted to going out there and learning new patterns, new techniques, you know, and becoming better every day. I hope that's what you get, because if you do, you're gonna be extremely happy. You know, I've been extremely happy. I mean, I love what I do, and you know, Ryan told me one time. He said, "Look," he said, "you are going to have to embrace change, Dad." Said, "You're going to have to embrace change." Said, "I know you're an old salt, the old way."
See, that's,
you know,
been the hardest thing for me, Jay, is embracing the change.
You got to embrace the change. He said, "Because if you don't, you're going to get your teeth kicked in." And you know what?
That is so true. That's the word of the wise coming from a young man.
Yeah, I pay close attention, and I respect these young anglers out there. These young guys and girls that are guides that are doing something right. They're doing something right, because I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it, and so I'm paying attention. You know, and I think once we reach that point as professionals, where you can embrace and learn from the field, from everybody around you, young and old. If there's anybody out there that hadn't listened to Rick Klung's latest podcast, I think it's with Mercer, I think. I listened to it on the way up when me and Ryan were moving him to Conroe. Well, you talk about a brilliant fishing mind.
Oh, yeah, that guy's always been.
You talk about an absolute brilliant fishing mind. He says things that just, the top of your head just blows off.
I never thought about that. It hits home, man.
Yeah, he's something else.
He is.
If you hadn't listened to it, I recommend people go listen to it.
Can you continue talking, or you need to go, or what?
I can talk.
All right, well, hang with me. Let me do another commercial break. I'll be right back at you, Jay. Hang with me. All right, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're located down in Texas City, right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no farther than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait than with their oxygen response system. You can check them out firsthand at the store. They have all their bottles on display, different sizes, all their regulators, diffusers, plus they can refill your bottles right there at the store. And, you know, if you need more info on the oxygen response, call Jason Cochran at 281-701-8107, and it works really great on tournament fish, too. And if you're looking for quality seafood, Boyd's has it. If you're looking for the big 9-12 count shrimp or the 15, 18s, whatever size, they've always got great pricing, great availability at Boyd's One Stop, and they are Crawfish Central. If you're ever needing crawfish from planning a big boil, you can reserve them. Just go online to boydsonestop.com, or you can call them at 409-945-4001. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
Well, I said, friend, don't take her, she's all I've got. Please don't take her love away from me.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 641 here in the Bayou City. All right, Jay, we're back, my friend.
Awesome.
I had a text from a listener. He wanted me to ask you if you knew what they caught some of those huge stringers on down south in the Legends Tournament.
You know, what they caught the fish on?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I would say, you know, based on, you know, I would base it on what, you know, we were catching them on down there a lot. And this would be especially true for, you know, for J-Ray. I mean, you know, a lot of these, especially the guys that are wanting to fish shallow and are fishing for very, very few bites.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those guys are fishing with, you know, custom floating corkies. I mean, there's no
right.
doubt. I mean, that's just part of the Mirror Lure Pro Series, Fat Boy.
Right.
I mean, that's just what they're fishing with. They're working them like a topwater. They're working them real aggressively, you know. And you know, I think the thing that people need to understand is, you know, they're not getting lots of bites. You know, you don't hear a lot of that. Well, we caught, well, especially we're talking about upper slot fish. Well, we caught 30. No, they caught four.
Yeah.
Or they caught three.
Right.
You know, or if you look at the actual statistics, you know, a small percentage of the three-man teams in the field, everybody on that team every day catches a three-pounder of their own. That number's low.
Yeah.
It's low. And what I try to explain to people is just how good a three-pound fish really is. You know, I mean, I you know, now that we have the digital scales, you know, you'll get out there and you'll say, I'll grab a fish. That's a three-pounder. And I put him up on that scale and just to check myself, well, he's 277. He's 281. He's not three.
He's scaring the hell out of three, though.
Yeah, but he's pushing it, you know. But yeah,
that's right.
There's no doubt that a lot of these fish are being caught on soft plastic. I mean, you know, it goes back to just what we were talking about in one of the other periods. You know, you better have your three or four or whatever top types. Files of baits in your box so that when you're in the area where you believe the fish are, you can change.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I would be that guy that would, you know, would definitely in a Legends tournament have my favorite two colors of topwaters in my box. My favorite, you know, Fat Boy, my favorite soft plastic. I'd have them in there. I'd have it in there and it, and I wouldn't leave the area if I really believed the fish were in there. I wouldn't believe it until I had explored all those possibilities with those lures. And in fact, I'm not sure I would leave regardless of whether I caught them or not if I knew and felt confident that the fish were in front of me.
Sure.
And I think that's one of the things that some of these young guys do very well is, yeah, they got really fast boats, and, yeah, they make really long runs. But I think when they get to where they're at, I don't think they do much running. I think
no.
they power pole down, and I think they grind. You know, I think they are absolutely willing to roll the dice and say, we're going to make it happen here, and we're going to win here, or we're going to zero.
That's it. You know, and you got to commit to that. I mean, when you
yeah.
if you know they're there, even if they're not biting, you've got to sit on them and make every cast you can, try every aspect
yep.
to your fishing abilities
yep.
and the lures you have to make them beat. You know, you just have to.
I have stood next to J-Ray and watched him in a flat on a day off when we're down there in Mansfield, watched him, you know, throw whatever it is, and gets calm on us, hadn't had any bites, tie that, you know, floater on, bang it across potholes, and, you know, and all of a sudden the water just erupts from a fish that just reacted to that particular style of action. That's all there was to it. She'd been there the whole time.
Got to make them eat it. Intimidate
them. You intimidated them. You made her mad, and she just came and ate it. You know, when I was a young tournament angler, yes, I was a guide as well, and I was worried about what people would think at the end of the day. If I came in with, you know, no fish, I mean, well, golly, he didn't even catch two reds, or he didn't even catch three trout. And J-Ray told me one time in the very infancy of me and him fishing together in tournaments, he said, Dad, 14 pounds of redfish ain't going to win nothing.
He said,
quit worrying about making a showing. He said, yeah, go catch 2 5-pounders. You got 10 pounds. You're, what, 30th place, 40th place?
Nobody.
Go find.
Yourself or nobody cares about that. Even second place, you're still the first loser in line. You're there to win, man.
Yeah, that's right. But I had a problem with that because I wanted to make a show, and I felt like you know, I need to be on the board. People need to see my name. I need to be on the board, you know, and you know, J-Ray or Ryan would say, you know, who got the silver medal in the 100-meter dash in the Olympics? You know. You don't know. And, you know, they were right. And once I adopted that, look, I'm not afraid to walk up there and say, I didn't get them today. Then I started winning because I started fishing on fish that could win. And I started spending all my time concentrating on catching those fish. And if I caught those fish, if I got a couple of bites in a day, I won because I was on the right stuff. You know, and so I find myself doing that as a guide now, getting the right area. Feel like I'm on the right stuff. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean they're trophy fish, but I'm just on the right stuff. I'm like, hey guys, we're gonna work this. We're gonna spend the morning here. We're on the right stuff. We're gonna make it happen. And you know what? More times than not, it does happen. Versus getting in a track meet, you know, and running and gunning, you know, that seldom worked for me. It didn't work for me. It just didn't. Now I'm sure it works for some people, but it did not work for Jay Watkins. So I'm more of that today. I'm more of that person that says, this is the area I want to fish. I'm fully confident everything the fish need are in here, and they're in here with it. And let's see if we can catch them. You know, and that would be my tip to people. You know, get up in the morning, look at the conditions, you know, clean palate when you go to sleep at night. You know, wake up in the morning, let the conditions paint the picture for you. Get out there. You know what you're looking for. You know, when you find it, if a few of the things you're looking for are in an area where you believe the fish are, get out and start fishing. Don't wait to see the home run ball because you might not see it. You know, that's what I'm having to do. I'm having to get up each morning, run the shoreline, you know, on my way to and from where I'm going, pay attention, menhaden coming in, birds working.
Read that water, baby.
Read it. And when you see
reading the water is everything.
It's everything. It's everything. And if you'll
Hey, James sent you a text. He just sent me a text that tell Jay, you can't be a hero if you're not willing to be a zero.
He's right about that. I think if I put all of the statistics together, the hero zero thing, I'm pretty sure the zero stuff outweighs the hero stuff.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Anybody in their right mind knows that.
Yeah, it does. It does. So, anyway, but yeah, you got to think positive out there. You got to understand that it's more of a challenge today, and get your mind right and get up for it, and get out there and do it. You know, throw your favorite lures. Don't be intimidated by, you know, something you read, something you saw. You know, throw what you got confidence in, And then at the same time, be open to change. Be open
you got to view things more optimistically if you're going to be a good fisherman. You know, a pessimist never will make it.
No,
there's always
an
excuse for everything, you know.
Yeah, that's in every industry. I think it was, I don't know if it was Jack Nicklaus or Arnold Palmer, one of them said that 75% of the field eliminates itself before tea time.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I know fishermen like that. I mean, they'll get up and go, well, the tide's not right today. The wind's out of the wrong direction. You know, the sonar tables are telling, you know, they're textbook fishermen, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I tell my clients all the time, I said, when I get to the point to when I'm idling out of the dock, I am giving you all the reasons why we're going to fail. I said, just tell me to turn around and take me back and you go find a new guy.
That's it.
But you're with the wrong person.
You got that right. Oh.
So, anyway.
Well, we've seen a lot over the years, you know, and customers are just get so bewildered right off the bat. I mean, what do you think, Captain? I said, man, it's not time yet. I told y'all we weren't going to catch them until mid-morning. So it's daybreak.
Yeah. Or even better than that, when the guy says to you, you know, while you're idling out, you know, where are we going today? And I say, I don't know.
Yeah, that really blows their mind because we're actually looking for fish. I mean, you can't be on them all the time, and you know exactly where you're going to go straight to and pull in and get them. You know.
Yeah, I know three or four weeks ago, you know, I was struggling mentally. I'd come from Mansfield, had been terrific. You know, you got lots of bites. You know, got home and just, you know, the weather was bad, the wind was strong. I mean, water temperature was bouncing all around, and I was getting frustrated. And Jay Ray called me one day. He goes, hey, he goes, you're getting frustrated. He said, you're overthinking this. He said, just go do what you do. You know, get some confidence back. Get your confidence lure on there and go to doing what you do, Dad. He said, it's messing with your mind.
Yeah, you can't overthink
it.
He
said, you're not on the same ranch.
Right. You know, some of the best tournaments I ever had is when I was totally lost as a goose and didn't have a clue I was going to do. Have you noticed that too?
Absolutely. Some of the best tournaments that I ever, you know, participated in or that I ever did well in, it almost felt like a fluke.
Yeah.
But then when I look back at it, I said, you know, we did see those perch yesterday doing what they were doing today, and that school of reds was out in that deep water underneath those perch pushing them up. Or we did see those two little slicks up on the San Antonio Bay shoreline at the end of the day in that tournament, and then today we stepped up here shallow, and man, this is where they're at. They're right here. So we were paying attention, but it felt like a fluke because that wasn't in the game plan originally.
No.
It wasn't the original strategy.
Nope.
You know, and I think that lends itself to you know, demonstrate to people how important it is to be in tune with everything that's going on around you, with every single thing that's going on. I told a guy one day last week, I said, hear those birds? And he goes, yeah. I said, they only talk like that when they're on Menhaden. He goes, what? He goes, shut up, Jay. I said, no, that's the only noise they make when they're on Menhaden.
That's it.
And we got out. And started catching them. And I said, He goes, wow, that's crazy. And I said, yeah. I said, but those turns, those royal turns, they only talk to each other like that and make that noise when they're on those menhaden. I said, I don't know, don't ask me how I know that, but that's what they're doing. And we pulled in, we hadn't caught much that day. We pulled in, we power pulled down, we got out and immediately started catching them. And I just laughed.
There you go. Hey,
there you go.
A lot to be said. Experience over everything else, man. I'll take it any day of the week. I mean, no matter how old the horse is I'm riding, he's been there and done it, I'm going to ride that one. Heck with that colt.
Sure-footed. Yeah, he's sure-footed for one thing.
Hey, you got that right. Well, Jay, hey, it's been a pleasure, man. I appreciate
it.
And great conversation. And you're really, a great fisherman. I've always respected you all these years. We've known each other a long time. And we even caught a few fish together over the years.
We have caught a few fish together. There's no doubt. It's like I've always said, every time we close the show, I've always said, you know what you've taught me. And I've never forgotten.
Bullhorn. Hey.
I never knew what perfect water was. I never knew what perfect water was until I tasted it.
Well, right. I did show you that. I showed you what perfect trout water tasted
That was so funny. Lowell said, "What's that crap? You guys,
yep, that
you
was
taste
good
water,
stuff.
You taste the water." I don't know why you did that. I said, "Well, I didn't know what perfect tastes like, Lowell."
Well, that's a day and a weekend. Well, I'll remember. I caught my biggest trout that weekend. All right, buddy.
I watched you. All right, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Jay. It's always a pleasure. Thank you, brother.
Okay, man.
All right. Later. All right, that's Captain Jay Watkins in Rockport. Great guy. All right, well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back next week on Thursday morning, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.